We have been looking through the book of 1 Corinthians, and we've been going through the errors that were there that Paul addresses, and there were in some errors, and so he addresses these errors, and we're just looking at the errors and trying to figure out how we can get better, or if we're in an error and a mistake, we want to get right, and so that's what we've been looking at. We've already talked about chapter 12, the error of dysfunction in the body. We also talked about the error, the root error. That was what we went through last time, last month that we were actually studying it. And that was the fundamental error of lack of charity. That was the fundamental error of lack of love, right? Lovelessness. And we actually talked about it. We went through the definition that Paul gives. He talks about it there in chapter 13 very deeply. And verses 4, 5, 6, and 7 really goes into some detail on what charity is, what it looks like, and how it should be. So, I wasn't able to finish it on that time. So I do want to finish that out today. So today, what I want to call it is the error of childish spirituality. And so that's what we're going to look at today. Let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we do want to thank you for life. We want to thank you for what you've given us. We thank you for this day. Lord, we especially thank you that you died on the cross for our sins. And Lord, you've provided a way for us to be saved, forgiven, and with hope of eternal glory with you. Lord Jesus, we're grateful for it, and today we're asking that you'd bless us with the endeavor that we have as we read your word. We want to know you better. We want to correct any issues we have, and we just want to draw closer to you today. And so, Lord, we ask that you would draw close to us as we study your word. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 13, after he gives that definition, a lot of definition on that, after he made it abundantly clear also that if you do not have charity, if you do not have love, then all those other gifts and all those other things that you do and could do are without anything. They're nothing without charity. That's what it makes it very clear. That's verses 1-3 makes it very clear that you are nothing without charity, because charity should be the principle, the governing principle that you have in your life by which you do all other things. And if you don't have it, then you've missed out on the essential part. And we'll explain a little more on why here in these later verses. So let's start reading from verse 8, and I'll finish out the chapter there. It says, "Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." And so I look at it, and Paul's seeing the focus that they had. They had a lot of focus on a lot of things, but he sees that their focus was not on the things that were correct. He sees that their focus were on these gifts, and he was really seeing that the error they were in was the things they were admiring were the gifts that they had, but Paul says those are temporary. Why are y'all so in such admiration of these gifts that are temporary when you're not focused on the thing that is eternal, the thing that's gonna last? And so the gifts that they had were tools to be used, but they were not the essential things that made up even Christianity. The things that they were relying on were partial, right? They were just things that were for a period of time. They weren't even complete. And yet they were relying so much on those that they had forgotten of the essential things. He talks about a day that when that's coming where all those other things are going to disappear. And whenever you put it into that perspective, it's kind of like, whoa, you know, they might not have ever thought about it that way. And Paul has to make it clear to them. And that's why I say this is childish. This era that they were in was childish spirituality, because they really were pursuing, you could say, spiritual things. They really were excited about spiritual things, but they just weren't seeing the correct point of the spiritual things they were into. They were seeing the spiritual things that did not have the value, like the value that charity had, or even faith and hope. And so that's what he's talking about. He's trying to shift their view of understanding what they should be focused on. And they were so focused on spiritual gifts. Remember, their mindset was very childish. They were thinking, man, these gifts are everything. You know, and they were excited about the height of their spirituality. Look at what we can do. That's the type of thinking they were. They were so excited about their gifts that they were willing to, in chapter 12, they were getting so excited about their personal gifts that they would even say things like, or think that, you know, these other people aren't that important, you know, as me because of the gifts that I have. Or it was where other members that maybe didn't have those gifts were thinking, well, I must not be as important as that person. And Paul says, that's nonsense. That's nonsense. That's focusing on something that really isn't as valuable as it should be. So from the beginning, right? Chapter 13 isn't just a random chapter of love that he puts in there for no reason. Chapter 13 goes right in between chapter 12 and chapter 14 for a reason. It's there for a reason. It's because the gifts that they were all excited about were not the most important thing. And they didn't understand that. That's why whenever he starts in verse 1 of chapter 12, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. He knew that they were ignoring some things when it came to spiritual gifts. They were ignoring some really important things when it came to these spiritual abilities, things that they had. They didn't understand them completely. And they were using them, right, because they had come from a background where pagan spirituality was about a lot of excitement and a lot of different things that made people feel emotional and all of this. He says, I need to correct some things here. I want to make sure we figure these things out. And so that's why he starts addressing them on these spiritual gifts that they were doing. Because remember, they were a very gifted church. The church at Corinth had a lot of gift. And I mean, we're talking about a lot of gift. We're talking about they had the gift of tongue. It seems like they had gift of healings. It seemed like they had a lot of knowledge. He talks about knowledge, that they were puffing up with knowledge. I mean, they had prophecy. They had a whole lot of gifts. They were very gifted spiritually. And yet there were so many problems in the church. And he knows what the root cause is of that. And it was lovelessness. It was they were not focused on what was truly valuable and what was truly essential to Christianity. And that's why he ends with saying here in chapter 13, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These are essential to the Christian faith. And I think we should understand that. We should recognize it, because if, you know, again, we're going to get into a lot of things in chapter 14 also, but if Christians are saying things like, well, if you don't have this gift, then you might not be a Christian. If you start thinking, well, if I don't have the gift of tongues, then you might not truly be a Christian. You're not understanding Christianity correctly. You're not understanding it the right way. You're not understanding the fundamentals, okay? And so if you start thinking that because you don't have a certain gift, you might not be right with God, then you haven't understood Christianity. And that's kind of where it looks like they were lying. They were so focused on the spiritual gifts that they forgot about these three essential ones. They didn't put them in the importance that they merited. And we can get to be that way also. We can get to be that way with many different things. If we start thinking, and again, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of the work of Jesus Christ, and the doctrine of the person of Jesus Christ are essential, and they're important for you to understand salvation. You cannot have salvation without knowing the doctrine of Jesus Christ and His work. Okay? And so doctrine is important. But when it comes to things like doctrine that is not essential to salvation, we start thinking those are the important things, and we actually start distinguishing ourselves from other Christians based on the doctrines that we hold. And it's something we gotta be really careful for. We can't be just putting people off like, oh, well, they don't believe the same way I believe in this thing, and so they must not be Christian. And yet that happens. And it happens with knowledge, it happens with all kinds of things. If just because somebody else, other Christians, don't share the same gifts you have, doesn't mean they are less of a Christian than you.
Amen.
And yet, we can get to the point where we think that. Or we can allow some people to make us feel like we're not as Christian, or we're not Christian because we don't have certain spiritual gifts. And that is a mistake. Again, if you don't have the gift of tongues, you don't need to be worried about your salvation because of that. But if you don't have faith in Christ, if you don't have hope of eternal life, if you don't have a growing love for God and others, I think you should examine yourself. Because these are essential to the Christian faith. These are the things that last and are needed. Again, he talks about that here, and he makes it very clear that charity or love is the clearest evidence, right, of a Christian life, and it is what abides, and it abides and endures forever. It does not fail, which is amazing. Because even within these essential ones, they fail also, right? Faith and hope, they come to an end at some point. Because faith at some point is gonna become sight. And there's gonna be no more need for faith. And you know the hope that you have, that hope is one day gonna be fulfilled. And you're not gonna need a hope anymore. You're gonna have the fulfillment of it. But charity, it never ends. And that's interesting to think about, I guess, when we consider it. I think it's interesting because it's hard to think about not ever ending, right? I think it's interesting because love or charity, we see the environment that we're in. The application of love and charity is usually when people are in distress, or when people are suffering, or when there's pain, right? Charity is usually carried out at those moments, at those times. When somebody is going through a hard time, you show love and charity. When somebody is hurting, you can show love and charity. Or when somebody is doing you wrong, and you can take it and patiently and endure it, you're showing love and charity. And so we understand that. But I think it's hard to understand, how are we going to have love and charity in heaven? When nobody's doing me wrong, how am I going to show my love then? When there is no tears and there is no sorrow, how are we going to show love then? So I think it's still a little hard to understand, but I think charity is going to look a little bit different in heaven, because there is not the same environment that we're in right now, but it's not going to end. It's just going to be in a different environment. But charity is still going to exist. We're still going to be rejoicing with one another. Imagine going to a place where there is going to be no envy. We're going to be able to experience perfect love, perfect charity, where there is no envy, there is no sorrow, there is no fighting, there is no pride, there is none of that. Heaven is going to be incredible because charity is going to be able to be exercised in a pure form. And so how it works, I think it's interesting to think about, because charity a lot of times right now is so focused on the environment that we're in at the moment, with all the pain and difficulty and problems that come with people. But in heaven, it's going to be a different way of experiencing love, I think, experiencing it. And it's never going to end. You know, it says God is love, and And to think that we're going to be forever, God can't just, you know, boom, show us everything and who He is. But for the ages to come, we are going to grow and know God deeper and deeper. And I think we're just going to be experience what love is and who He is. And so again, that's why charity really is something that is not just for this momentary life. It's not a tool that we're just using right now that, you know, one day we're not going to need anymore. It's something that's going to endure forever. Amen. And so that's why Paul is saying, y'all's focus is really messed up. It's really distorted. Y'all are very childish in your thinking whenever y'all are all excited about these gifts and you're ignoring what's most important, which is charity. So again, faith is essential, right? Paul says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. And faith is very important. And hope is inseparable from salvation. If you don't have hope of eternal life, I think you should be wondering or examining your trust. Where is your trust lying? Because if it's lying in Jesus Christ, you can have hope of eternal life. It's something you can have right now. And that's a beautiful thing. You can know, you can trust in Jesus Christ, and He gives you that faith, and you can have hope in that salvation. It even says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. These are things that we should have as Christians. But I'm going to read 1 John 3:14, because again, this passage I think is really neat. It says, when we're thinking about love being one of the clearest evidences of a Christian life, this is one of the passages. He says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now, isn't that interesting? He says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. We know it. When? Because we love the brethren. So you see what I'm saying whenever we're talking about how essential love is, how essential it is to the Christian life? And imagine then Christians in a church that are full of a lot of gifts, and they're full of a lot of excitement, a lot of different things, but they don't have love. Love is causing so much, the lack of love was causing so many problems in this church that Paul is looking at them and he's saying, what is going on? Y'all are all excited about these gifts, but y'all don't have love, and love is essential to the Christian life. Loving your brethren is exactly what Jesus said was going to happen whenever people, to show people that you are belong to God, love God, that you are a Christian. It's going to be because people notice that you have love. People see that you love. And so without that, then y'all are really making a big mistake. And that's how Paul is presenting this, I believe. And we got to be careful, because in a gifted church, you don't want the gifts to become your identity, and then the love become just kind of like an obscure thing that gets overlooked. You don't want visibility to become your validation. You don't want the even in conflict, right? Think about the goals that you have. The goals in conflict is restoration. And a lot of times the goals in conflict is we want to be right. But maybe being right and just showing everybody that I'm right isn't the goal whenever there's conflict. Maybe the goal is to be restoring one another, right? And so again, love, you can have all kinds of tools and you can have all these things, but if you take love out of the picture, then it's nothing. And that's how he starts with chapter 13, and that's what he's talking about. That's why he's saying it's so important. So I just want to go through a little bit of this, that the very things that they were exalting were temporary, they were partial, they were passing away, and yet they held them up in such high esteem, they were being very childish in their spirituality. They were overvaluing what was temporal, and they weren't investing in what was permanent, which is love or charity. So childish spirituality mistakes the excitement, right? The excitement for what's most valuable. And we see this in the whole book of 1 Corinthians. They were excited about a lot of different gifts that they had. They were excited about the ability. I mean, think about it, and I believe that at that time there were a lot more gifts of the Spirit than you'd say there are today. I think that during that time there was a very special reason God gave gifts. He says that He was going to confirm the apostles with the gifts, right? And I think He was confirming the apostles' word by giving gifts not only to the apostles but to those that believed in the apostles' word, and it was to confirm the word of the apostles, and that made a confirmation. That's why we can trust the Bible, the Word of God, as being something that God confirmed because of the strong signs that they had that followed these believers. And so imagine at that time this church that had a bunch of spiritual gifts and signs. Man, wouldn't that be exciting? That would be exciting. And whenever you get something that is that exciting, you kind of forget the other principles, right? That may be more important. Just try it. After your kid brushes his teeth at night, go offer him some candy. And it's like, they don't care that they brush their teeth. If you offer them some candy and some M&Ms, you know, and late at night, they're going to be all excited about it, and they're going to go get those M&Ms. Because that excitement overrules the more important things that they're going through, because they have a childish view. They're not thinking about what's more important, what consequences, all of that. They're thinking, man, this is exciting. I get to have candy at night. And that's how we are. We start getting a little bit of something. You start, maybe you have a good spiritual gift. Maybe you have the gift of, name it, you name it. If you had the gift of healing, wouldn't you be excited about that? Man, if you could raise somebody from the dead, would you not be excited about that? If you could cast out devils, would you be excited about that? Man, be careful that we would get more excited about that than loving each other. Right. Because that's what they were going through. They could speak in tongues, and they were getting so excited about that that they weren't putting focus on edifying the church. They were getting so excited about the things that they had the ability to do that they were ignoring other brethren. And so the excitement that we can have with gifts that come from God and these tools that God gives us can actually sometimes cause us to be distracted from what is overly important, from what is truly permanent, and that is love, that is charity. That is what's permanent. And mature Christians should be focused on that. So, this is childish spirituality that is focusing on the excitement and focusing on the outward. And again, this happens so much too. We're so focused on the outward. We're focused on outward appearance and we're focused on things like that. We're not focused on the inward. When Christ taught us very clearly that that's what we should be focused on. And you know, what about all the inward stuff that we have? Well, you know, maybe God wants us to really work on pride. God wants us to really work on maybe bitterness that you might have in your heart. God might want you to work on a whole lot of things that are on the inside. And yet, whenever we have one spiritual gift that is very outward and showy, we can just be so focused on that we forget that we need to deal with what's on the inside. And so, we gotta be careful, because we can also be childish in our spirituality, and we can mistakenly get overexcited about the things that the tools that God has given us to work with. The childish spirituality is centered on oneself, right? And that's the truth. I mean, a child naturally experiences the world, right, as how it pertains to him. I mean, the child is just thinking about himself, and that is kind of like a defining thing between what you would call somebody mature versus calling somebody a child. A child is just thinking about himself. And we don't see anything wrong with that, right? I mean, we do to a certain extent. The smaller they are, right, we understand it more. But the bigger they are, we're like, hey, you need to learn how to grow up and start thinking about others. At the beginning, they're just doing their thing and they don't have any consideration for anybody else. But the more they mature, we want them to think about other people and not just themselves. And that's what happens with us. We start in this book of the First Corinthians, it seems like there were so many problems because they were so self-centered. Everybody was thinking about themselves and not about other people. They were dividing up because they were dividing up for different reasons. I mean, they were doing so many things. It was just thinking about themselves. Even in the spiritual liberty or the liberty that they had to do different things, they weren't considering the effect that it was going to cause on other people. And so Paul says, don't be like that. You got to stop thinking about yourself. How am I seen? What do I look like? And so again, this is where spiritual gifts can really be a problem with that, right? Spiritual gifts are not a help with your pride, right? The more spiritual gifts you have, the more humble you're going to be required. Because it's going to be harder. And the more spiritual gifts you have, the harder it's going to be to not focus on yourself. And so this is a problem that they were going through. And this is a problem that they had because they did not value charity. So they allowed those spiritual gifts to get in their head. And they were focused on themselves. And Paul is saying, this is childish. This is childish spirituality. Oh, wow, amazing. You can speak in tongues. But you're using it to boast about how much more amazing you are than somebody else? Whoa, you could heal somebody. And you're going to use that to boast about how you have this and how somebody else doesn't. See, what we're talking about is the self-centeredness is a real problem. And the spiritual gifts that somebody has can just increase that problem if there's no charity. And so we go back to the fundamental problem is lovelessness, is not looking out for other people and only concerned for yourself. Charity would take that away. And so Paul is really, really working on it here. And that's why the definition that he gives of charity in chapter 13 is so good for us to read, think about, meditate upon. Because again, this will help every relationship in your life. Because charity is good. Charity is necessary in every relationship in your life. And in the church, it's necessary. And if we would read and consider and think about that definition right there, you would learn how to have a better life when you're thinking about others. And doesn't he say that? He says it very clearly. He says in verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. That's what charity does. Charity does not seek her own. It's not about me, 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 me. It's about how can I serve others? What can I do for somebody else? How can I help? And that will help your life out a lot. It helps in so many ways. You know, if you're always worried or if you're sad, you ever feel sad, you ever feel melancholy or sad about your problems, I'll tell you what you should do. Just go start helping some other people. Because you'll find that other people might have some worse causes than you, worse problems than you. And when you start helping other people, you might get a burden for them and you might start caring about their problems. And your problems might just, you know, not be as present and as heavy on you as they were before. So love, charity can change a lot, and we all need it in the different relationships in our lives. But this is what they were facing. Childish spirituality. Paul recognized it. Childish spirituality loves the immediate and neglects what's enduring. like we talked about. And he reinforces all this. But it thinks about the now. It thinks about the right now. And at that moment, when they have all these spiritual gifts, boy, this is the now. The now. And it's all focused on what looks good now. And we have gifts that are really good looking right now. We focus on numbers, we focus on this, and we focus on that, and we focus on everything that looks good right now. But Paul makes it very clear, just because it looks good right now doesn't mean it's something enduring. And that's why he says, if you had faith that could move mountains, but you don't have charity, it's nothing. He says, if you could speak in tongues of men and angels, and you don't have charity, you're like sounding brass. So, who cares if you can speak eloquently and get all this stuff, but if you don't have charity, you really are nothing. He says, though I bestow all my goods in verse 3, I give all my goods to feed the poor, and I have my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. So something that looks good right now, and we're focused in the now, and it seems good now, if it does not have charity, it's not enduring. And that's why we all need to understand, we all need to know what we're doing things for and how we're doing them. Because charity should be our governing principle in life and why we do things and how we use our gifts. And to think that you could use gifts and you could use those things, but you're not using them in charity might not validate all the things that you're doing. That God might not think so highly of what you're doing because you're not really doing it with charity. That's hard to take sometimes to think about. But it's always thinking about the now. And you get drawn off by other things because you're so focused in what's happening right now. And that's why I say childish spirituality, because this is what a child does. A child is just like in the moment. They do not think about what's coming later. There's this guy on YouTube, and he goes to parks, and he has a little cute dog, and he tells the parents, hey, you mind if I do a little experiment here? Can I go talk to your child and show them the dog and ask them if they want to go with me to see some other dogs? And they're like, yeah, sure. He says, what do you think their answer is going to be? Oh, they're not going to go with you. Definitely no. I tell them not to talk to strangers. I tell them not to ever go with them, you know. Okay, so he always tries it. And he goes up to them, the little kid starts playing with the dog, and he says, hey, you want to go to my car? I have more puppies. You want to go see him? And, oh, yeah. They grab his hand and walk off with him. And the parents are just like, what is going on? How can it be? Because it's so easy to catch the kid's attention. They're just focused on the now. They're just looking at right now. What does it look like? What does it look like? And as a church and as Christians, we can start getting really focused on what do we look like right now. And we can so focus on that so much that we can have all the right tools and we can put it all together and we can make it look really good right now. But it's not really enduring. And that's really dangerous. Because you can make everything look good. And you can make everything look good in your life right now. And you can come to church on Sunday morning and present yourself with everybody else and make it look like you are really in good shape. But if you're not in good shape, God knows it. And so charity is the one that endures. And when they were forgetting about charity, they were forgetting about love. They were so focused on all these other things that it looked really good to them right then. But Paul is telling them, y'all need to focus on what is going to endure. Y'all need to stop being kids about this and start being mature, start being adults. What do adults do? They can sacrifice some savings right now so that they can invest in something for the future. Kids just want to spend all the money they've got. They don't think about that. So he's saying, you need to mature. Y'all are so focused on all these spiritual gifts that y'all are not thinking about charity. And that is childish. The childish spirituality that they had were confusing partial experience with full understanding. See, they had some experience now, right? With their gifts and their knowledge and their understanding. You know, whenever something is revealed to you or you finally figure something out, you're kind of like, wow, you know, you got it. And then you start thinking you know it all. Then you start thinking you understand it all. But you really don't. And I think that's why a lot of people get so excited about maybe a doctrine or get so excited about something, but then they just go off with it and think they know everything when they don't know it all. And Paul says a lot of things that are interesting here. He says in verse 8, he says, whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away. He says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. we have knowledge. Yes, we have knowledge. And they were boasting about their knowledge. Their knowledge was puffing them up. And yes, they knew they had some knowledge. But the knowledge, he says, we know in part. You see, you don't know all things. You don't know everything. And the knowledge is just very, very limited. The knowledge that you have is very limited. So it's something better, right? And that's why he's saying you need to focus on charity. But isn't this how children act? This is how children, whenever those children become, you know, teenagers, they start thinking they know it all. You kind of think, man, y'all are even more childish than you used to be. Whenever they were little kids, they thought we knew it all. That was better than now. They think they know it all. And that's kind of their childhood, being childish. And so they think they know so much and they think they have all these. And he says, y'all don't know it all. The knowledge, y'all know in part. Y'all prophesy in part. There's something that endures, and that's charity. And so we got to be careful with even the things that we know. It's partial. And the partial isn't the goal. The partial is only a tool. Okay, so basically, all these things that God had given them, all these gifts, all these tools, were for the edifying of the body. But they, instead of making it about the edifying of the body and charity growing and flourishing, they were focusing on the tools instead of the building. And so again, it's that's the problem. They were so focused on the tools that they never got to building the structure. And so Paul's saying, what's going on? Why are y'all acting so childish? Why are y'all being so childish? You know, the childish spirituality resists correction and clings to preference. A child resists correction. The child just wants to do what they want to do. This is children. And this is what differentiates children from men. Right? Even though you don't want to do something, you do it. You don't just go with the flow. You don't just do what you prefer. You are able to be corrected. And this is a problem. What Paul says there in verse 11, he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. He says, I put them away. I had to put them away. And you know, this is what we need to do. We need to be able to put away childish things. And so Paul is bringing them to an understanding, and he's trying to get them to see and understand what truly endures, what truly matters in this church life that they're in, this body that they're a part of. He's saying, listen, this is what matters, and you need to become a man and put away those childish things. All those problems that y'all are having in Corinth, y'all need to get rid of them. Y'all need to put them away. Y'all need to grow up. All this focus on yourself and the focus on your spiritual gifts and the putting down of others and the allowing the sin and just tolerating this and all kinds of things that they were doing, he's saying you need to put that away and mature. Because when that which is perfect has come, these tools aren't going to be needed anymore. You're so excited about that you have the gift of tongues. But guess what? When everything's perfected and when everything's complete and when you see Christ face to face and you become like Him, guess what? You're not going to need to speak in tongues anymore. You're not going to need to prophesy anymore. You're not going to be puffed up about all the knowledge that you have anymore. None of that is going to matter. But charity is going to continue and it's going to endure. So why don't y'all focus on that? Amen. Put away childish things. Grow up and get these things fixed. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So he says, follow after charity in verse 14, or chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity. This is what y'all should be seeking. This is what y'all should be after. This is like the top priority. Y'all are all focused on all these other things that are exciting, but you need to shift that. Focus on charity. That should be your goal. And you focus on charity, and then you can put the things in order as they should be. First, charity, and then let's work out the gifts. Then let's talk about the gifts. Let's see what we need to do with gifts. But let's go for charity. Let's push for charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. And then he gets into chapter 14, which we'll see later on. But right now, he's just trying to shift their thinking because they're being very childish. You need to grow up and mature and recognize what endures, and that is charity. That is love. And that's what you need to focus on. All the things that you do need to be based on and governed with that principle of charity. Focus on that, and you'll be able to get rid of a lot of problems that y'all have. And that's how he's looking at the Church of Corinth. So we'll continue on with chapter 14 next week, and we'll look at some other errors there. Amen. We're going to take a little break.